Jesus needed a break. He had been on the campaign trail for a long time, stumping for the kingdom of God. He had been campaigning on his platform of love and mercy and justice reform, preaching to his people who were suffering under the tyranny of Roman rule, people who lacked health care, adequate jobs, and good housing. He had healed people who were lame and maimed, mute and blind, people who had been put at his feet by the crowds who came to him. He had fed 4,000 hungry people after feeding 5,000 hungry people. He had debated with the religiously powerful Pharisees and Sadducees who were trying to figure him out. "Who are you?" they wanted to know. "Show us a sign, our own sign." He had tussled with Peter, who recognized him as the Messiah, and then minutes later bailed on him after Jesus told him and the other disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Peter was having none of that. No Messiah of his would suffer and be killed. After all that, Jesus needed a break. He needed some time out. Working for God's kingdom was hard work. So 6 days later, Jesus packed up some bread and cheese, filled his water bottle, put on his sandals, and took Peter and James and John up a high mountain where they could be by themselves to pray and to reconnect with their source. Peter knew Jesus was tired. Jesus' dusty and calloused feet must have ached from all the walking he had done in Nazareth and throughout Galilee. Even so, he was still walking up the mountain with them. All three disciples were looking forward to this time, time for quiet and regrouping, or so they thought. Once on top of the mountain, their friend, this Jesus, the one they thought they knew so well, suddenly looked different, suffused with blinding light, transfigured right before their eyes. Who was this? The disciples were overcome, taken aback by the brilliant light, the radiant garments, the voice from the clouds. "Wow," Peter might have thought, "this is more like it. This is what the coming of the Messiah was meant to be." Can't you just hear him saying, "Let's get these tents up and hang around and start the kingdom right here and now"? And can you blame him? Who would ever want to leave such an experience of light, such an experience of God's shining divinity? Though they were overcome in the moment, in retrospect, looking back on it, the disciples may not have been completely surprised. As good Jews, they were well versed in the Torah. They knew the story of Moses on the mountain with God. So for them, the transfiguration of Jesus was another Moses-shaped story of God's presence. Moses, born under Pharaoh's death sentence. Jesus, born under the threat of King Herod. Moses, called by God to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, entering the cloud, the glory of God, a consuming fire. Jesus, transfigured on the mountaintop. Jesus, spoken to by the voice out of that cloud. "This is my beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." The mosaic themes of the mountain, the shining face, the cloud, the voice of God, all were present here with Jesus. Right in front of them, their friend, their very human Jesus, was alight with the presence of God as he shone from the inside out. The disciples fell to the ground, overcome with fear, the fear which was awe, overwhelmed. But Jesus wouldn't leave them lying there full of fear. He came to them as he comes to us and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid. Get back up on your feet. We have work to do for God's kingdom." Jesus knew there was no staying on the mountaintop. The descent back down the mountain waited, the descent into weakness and chaos and conflict, and for him, the further descent into death, his own death. His feet, those dusty feet that had walked so many miles to heal the broken people he could touch, would be nailed to a cross before his earthly story ended. Those feet walked the walk of life you and I live. And because he lived our lives in all their sorrow and joy, vulnerability and fragility, suffering and loss, because he walked our life, our lives are suffused with God's grace and glory. As Jesus did, you and I have had and will continue to have bruised and blistered feet from time to time. As Jesus did and you and I have and will have again, his feet were dancing and joyful from time to time. That's what human life looks like. There's no way to shield ourselves from it or escape it. There's also no way to shield ourselves and escape the light and love of Jesus, who will not leave us. We waste our time if we even try. But especially in the darker times of uncertainty and chaos, we can leave it all behind for a few minutes and put on our walking shoes and go on up the mountain and take a break and have some intentional time with Jesus. He would like you to hear again his campaign message of love, that your faith might be renewed, that you might continue to have hope and faith in God's future. Jesus would like to walk with you and take you and your tired, aching, blistered feet with him to a place and a time apart, so that you may be strengthened when you go inevitably back down the mountain into the thick of things again. If you decide to get on board with his campaign, if you accept his invitation to take a break from all the demands and uncertainties in your life, if you decide to take your feet up the mountain, be open to him. Whatever it is you might expect, even if that's nothing at all, it won't be what you get. Peter and James and John were blindsided by their experience of the holy, and you just might be too. I certainly have been. An older couple was visiting my church one Sunday, and after the service, they asked to meet with me. They were in New Haven from North Carolina to be with their son. Chris was 33 at the time, suffering from AIDS in the very early days of the disease, and had only just told his parents that he was gay. They were confused about AIDS, terrified by the thought that he might be dying, and would I please come to the hospital with them to pray. I was scared, as were they, scared of AIDS, scared that Chris might be dying. AIDS then was like the coronavirus now. What was it? Would I get it? How was it transmitted? What could I offer anyway? What difference would my prayers make? Doing my best to push my fears aside, I put on my own walking shoes and packed up my communion kit and headed out. You know how it is when you have one of those experiences that freezes you in time and you never forget a detail of where you were when it happened? Like when the trade towers came down, or when your first child came into the world, or when you got the job, or when you were accepted into college? My time that day in the hospital with Chris and his parents was like that. Chris was desperately ill. He barely had the strength to greet me. He was pale and emaciated and in terrible pain. Foot rubs are the only thing he ever wants, his parents said. They can help him relax. They gently took his long, thin, bony feet in their hands and prayed for Christ's presence. And as I watched and prayed, and they rubbed his feet, I tell you, those feet changed. Their pale, deathly, waxy color turned fleshy warm. Life seemed to creep back into them. It was as if Jesus himself had reached out his hand and touched him, reassuring Chris that he was there to help, to support, to accompany Chris in whatever lay ahead. When I looked up, Chris was, for a moment, radiant. In those few moments, the light of the transfigured Christ transformed him, transformed his parents, transformed me. Once again, there was Jesus calling out fear, offering peace, even some form of new life and possibility. Chris managed a small smile as he sank deeper into the pillow. I have seen Jesus, he said. I know I am dying, but even when I die, I will live with him. I can rest now in peace. Like Peter, before going to the hospital, I had my questions and my doubts, and I would have them again. But that day, in that moment, there was no denying the presence of the Holy. It can be tempting to try to explain the Transfiguration. Many have tried. But God cannot be explained. God can only be encountered, encountered in glimpses. And when that happens, one is changed, transformed. Such encounters with the Holy can happen anywhere, on mountaintops in blinding light for some, surfing for others. But for most of us, when they happen in ordinary moments in classrooms, in hospitals, boardrooms, kitchens, community meals, even in the no-free shelter. Sudden glimmers of light and deep connection with the divine. The fact is, we cannot escape the light God will shine on our path, whether our hearts are broken or bursting with joy, whether we run away or sit in hell, when we are too tired to climb up that mountain or too astonished to want to come down again. Jesus' feet walked the bumpy roads of life as we do, and if we can just remember all that God has done for us and for all God's people, from the beginning at creation to Abraham, to Moses, to the disciples, to our own lives, we can remember that when we feel least able to see any light in the world around us and in our own life, God in Jesus refuses to leave us dead in our fears. He comes to us, touches us, lifts us up, and does not leave us, but descends down the mountain with us, getting his feet wet and muddy, cut and bloody, all for his love's sake. As we come to Lent this week, I suspect many of us might need to take a break with Jesus. If you do, I invite you to prepare by putting on your walking shoes and heading on up that mountain with him. Like the disciples, who knows what any of us might encounter? And if we encounter the holy, we might be terrified, overcome with awe before the Lord. But if we can remain open to God's transforming love, if we can remember what God has done for God's people in the past, if we can claim God's agenda of justice and mercy and love as our own, we just might exchange our heavy walking shoes for dancing shoes, dancing back down the mountain with God, strengthened to pick up our crosses for daily life. Joining with him and his campaign, we all win. May you be touched by Jesus. May your feet be strong, and may you stand up, stand strong, and rally for Jesus. And may you always know his light and his love. He will never leave you. Amen.